ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। मुखं करोति वच्चलं भंगुं लंगयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दिनतरणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यमीश्वरं आनंदलीलामय विग्रहाय हेमावदिव्यक्ष विसुंदराय तस्मै महाप्रेम रसप्रदाय चैतन्यचंद्राय नमो नमस्ते। Today we are reading from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 5. This is Narada's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam to Srila Vyasadeva. Text number 22, we have chosen specifically this verse because Srila Prabhupada speaks about education in this verse. At least gives a hint, I interpret it in this way, about how much we need to establish Krishna-conscious universities. Otherwise, why Srila Prabhupada will write like that? Now we will see what he writes. Idami pumsas tapasas shrutasya va. Svistasya suktasya cha buddhi dattayo. Avichyutorta kavibir nirupito. Yaduta mashloka gunanun varnanam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Idam, this, he, certainly, pumsa, of everyone, tapasa, by dint of austerities, shrutasya, by dint of study of the Vedas, va, or, Svistasya, sacrifice. Suktasya, spiritual education. Cha, and. Buddhi, culture of knowledge. Dattayo, charity. Avichyuta, infallible. Artha, interest. Kavibhi, by the recognized learned person. Nirupita, concluded. Yad, what? Uttamashloka, the Lord, who is described by choice poetry. Gunanuvarnanam, description of the transcendental qualities of. Sri Narada Muni is speaking. Learned circles have positively concluded that the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge, namely austerities, study of the Vedas, sacrifice, chanting of hymns, and charity, culminates in the transcendental descriptions of the Lord, who is defined in choice poetry. If you like to repeat, learned circles have positively concluded that the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge, namely austerities, study of the Vedas, sacrifice, chanting of hymns, and charity culminates in the transcendental descriptions of the Lord, who is defined in choice poetry. Srila Prabhupada writes, human intellect is developed for advancement of learning in art, science, philosophy, physics, chemistry, psychology, economics, politics, etc. By culture of such knowledge, the human society can attain perfection of life. This perfection of life culminates in the realization of the Supreme Being, Vishnu. The Shruti therefore directs that those who are actually advanced in learning should aspire for the service of Lord Vishnu. Unfortunately, persons who are enamored by the external beauty of Vishnu Maya do not understand that culmination of perfection or self-realization depends on Vishnu. Vishnu Maya means sense enjoyment, which is transient and miserable. Those who are entrapped by Vishnu Maya utilize advancement of knowledge for sense enjoyment. Sri Narada Muni has explained that all paraphernalia of the cosmic universe is but an emanation from the Lord out of his different energies, because the Lord has set in motion by his inconceivable energy the actions and reactions of the created manifestation. They have come to be out of his energy. They rest on his energy, and after annihilation, they merge into him. Nothing is therefore different from him. But at the same time, the Lord is always different from them. When advancement of knowledge is applied in the service of the Lord, the whole process becomes absolute. The personality of Godhead and his transcendental name, fame, glory, etc. are all non-different from him. Therefore, all the sages and devotees of the Lord have recommended that the subject matter of art, science, philosophy, physics, chemistry, psychology, and all other branches of knowledge should be wholly and solely applied in the service of the Lord. Art, literature, poetry, painting, etc. may be used in glorifying the Lord. The fiction writers, poets, and celebrated literatures are generally engaged in writing of sensuous subjects. But if they turn towards the service of the Lord, they can describe the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Valmiki was a great poet, and similarly Vyasadev is a great writer. We should remember the context is that Srila Vyasadev was not satisfied, although he had written all the Vedas. And Narada Muni is telling him that you are not satisfied because you have not focused on the Lord. You have talked about so many things for material enjoyment, but you forgot the most important aspect of education, which is the glorification of the Lord. So Vyasadeva is a great writer, and both of them have absolutely engaged themselves in delineating the transcendental activities of the Lord, and by doing so have become immortal. Similarly, science and philosophy also should be applied in the service of the Lord. There is no use presenting dry speculative theories for sense gratification. philosophy and science should be engaged to establish the glory of the Lord. Advanced people are eager to understand the absolute truth through the medium of science. And therefore, a great scientist should endeavor to prove the existence of the Lord on a scientific basis. Similarly, philosophical speculations should be utilized to establish the supreme truth as sentient and all-powerful. Similarly, all other branches of knowledge should always be engaged in the service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, also the same is affirmed. All knowledge not engaged in the service of the Lord is but nations. Real utilization of advanced knowledge is to establish the glories of the Lord, and that is the real import. Scientific knowledge engaged in the service of the Lord and all similar activities are all factually Hari Kirtan, or glorification of the Lord. Again, scientific knowledge, that's university education normally, scientific knowledge engaged in the service of the Lord and all similar activities are all factually Hari Kirtan, or glorification of the Lord. Idammi pumsas tapasashrutasya va svishtasya suktasya chabuti dattayo avichyutorta kavibir nirupito yatutama shloka gunanu varnanam. Learned circles have positively concluded that the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge, namely austerities, study of the Vedas, sacrifice, chanting of hymns, and charity culminates in the transcendental descriptions of the Lord, who is defined in choice poetry. So, as we mentioned in the beginning, this is a topical class. I mean, we will have actually four topical classes starting today during Bhagavatam time on education. We're having a conference, ISKCON Education Conference. Of course, there have been different forums where educations have been discussed. For example, the GBC body has established a GBC Education Committee to study and delineate strategies to make ISKCON education more powerful, to develop schools and hopefully universities also. But actually it is telling that it has taken us about 15 years to have another conference after the previous one, international conference, formal conference to discuss education, which indicates, and that's here I'm expressing also personal opinions, and I'm aware that others may say no. There may be other opinions, and later on there will be some time for open discussion. But in my little opinion, it indicates how much education is undervalued in ISKCON. Education meaning systematic formal education. Somehow we are dealing with issues in the history of education where we didn't do well in many ways. Of course, we did also many good things that should be said also. But in the beginning of ISKCON schools, we didn't do so well. We engaged sometimes uneducated people as teachers, and the result was catastrophic in the schools, to the point where even some leaders got scared even of starting new schools because we didn't do it well the first time. We got burned, and then, okay, we are very afraid of doing it again. The number of schools diminished dramatically. And perhaps this experience we have in the movement combined with an immature understanding of the teachings found in scriptures and Srila Prabhupada's teachings on renunciation, we have created certain myths. We have created the myth, for example, that formal education or academic education is not good or is mundane. And actually, this verse is dispelling this myth. Srila Vyasadev, Srila Narada Muni, in speaking to Srila Vyasadev, is using here words related to education and learning many times, in emphasizing the point that education is good when used in the service of the Lord, when used for the glorification of the Lord. For example, the word Shrutasya is used. Shrutasya refers to the Vedas, Shruti. Yama Ishvarya Shruta Shribir. Also, Srila Prabhupada translates Shruta elsewhere as education. It means formal study of the Vedas, that will be one way of looking at it, or any knowledge which, even if not revealed formally, directly in the Vedas, is evident according to the pramanas established by the Vedas. For example, pratyaksha, even though limited to understand transcendental substance, pratyaksha is recognized in the sadarshanas as one of the valid methods for acquiring knowledge. So empirical science also, if used in the service of the Lord, and correct empirical knowledge, is also Veda. So the word Shruta is used, Shrutasya. Then we find Suktasya. Prabhupada translates it as spiritual education. And then Buddhi. Buddhi, culture of knowledge or intelligence. And Kavibhi, by the recognized learned person. Kavi means a very educated person. Like we have Kavi Karnapur, and Krishnadas Kaviraj, the king among poets. So education is very much emphasized in this verse. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport is talking, we could say, yes, but what about this is only what we call Vedic knowledge in the traditional sense of the term. We sometimes we understand Vedic dressing in ways, very traditional ways, and singing prayers in very traditional ways, which is wonderful and should be established in our universities also. As a primary element, should be there. But then Srila Prabhupada is talking about chemistry, physics, politics, economics. So all branches of knowledge are taken into consideration. And I will suggest that we need to, in order to bridge between the Vedic tradition we are representing many times, we do not understand it very well because we have not studied it so well. We talk Vedic, But how many experts we have in the movement, truly experts on Vedic politics, on Vedic economics, on Vedic psychology? How many truly experts we have? Very few. So if we want to communicate Vedic tradition, classical Vedic tradition, first we need to study it systematically. We need to understand it. Then we can talk about it. And then we need to bridge to the modern gurus or the modern professors, modern teachers in society. And therefore we need to study also what they have studied in order to be able to see where it matches, where there are the differences, where there are the grounds for establish a dialogue, a discussion, where there are grounds for debate, and then we need to present evidence. If something is wrong, evidence should be presented. In order to do that, we need systematic education. So I wanted to share some reflections on this point, on how we have certain myths created in ISKCON. And this may be consciously we embrace them, and we say directly, straightforwardly, we take out of context Srila Prabhupada's quotes on mundane scholarship, and we just brush it away, dismiss it, saying it is bad. We say schools are slaughterhouses. We take quotes like that, and we misunderstand the point by applying a perspective which is not actually part of our Vaishnava tradition, particularly our Rupanuga Vaishnava tradition. We follow Srila Rupa Goswami. According to Srila Rupa Goswami, true renunciation is using everything in the service of the Lord. Anasaktasya visayam yatarham upayunjata nirvanda krishna sambande yuktam vairagya nuchyate. So everything, as Prabhupada says here, arts, chemistry, physics, economics, everything should be used in the service of the Lord, and this is true renunciation or practical renunciation, applied renunciation. To the contrary, prapanchikataya buddhya harisambandhi vastuna mumukshuvi parityago vairagyam phalgu katyate. When we see something which can be used in the service of the Lord, for example, all these disciplines, schools, universities, we see it as material, and we think, no, I only chant Hare Krishna, I will speak only about Krishna and nothing else. Everything else is Maya. This is a poor understanding of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means using everything in the service of the Lord. And education is essential for a healthy development of any society. As Srila Prabhupada starts the purport by saying, human intellect is developed for advancement of learning in art, science, philosophy, physics, chemistry, psychology, economics, politics, etc. We need all these things in order to live in a healthy society. We need people who are specialized in each discipline. And this will be the term, the Vedic term, that we will call it Varnashrama. Varnashrama. But Varnashrama should be understood in context. Like Ravindra Swarup Prabhu will say that when we talk about Varnashrama, there are more opinions than people we have in ISKCON about how to apply Varnashrama. So, which means we have work to do there in order to unify opinions. We need to study it better in a very systematic way. and have the debates and look at it into the present context. What does it mean, Varnashrama, in 2012 in Europe, in America, or even in India, which is following the globalized world economy? What does it mean, Varnashram? We go now to Bangalore or Mumbai, what do we see there? So we need to see what we need to study and see how to apply all these sciences in Krishna consciousness in the service of the Lord. For that we need education in each and every discipline. I selected some quotes in this regard. Srila Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita how to preserve our legacy or the legacy of the disciplic succession, the Guru Parampara. We need systematic training and education. Prabhupada writes in purport to the Yoga Brashta verse on the yogi who falls, 642 Bhagavad Gita. Such families, Acharya or Goswami families, are very learned and devoted by tradition and training, and thus they become spiritual masters. But they have no degenerated due to insufficient education and training. So that's a concern for, particularly for Srila Prabhupada's disciples, who are the pioneers together with Srila Prabhupada. They were the pioneers. We are also pioneers. Yesterday, Anuttama Prabhu was speaking to college students. Oh, we are still pioneers. We are still in. We have not celebrated the 50th anniversary of ISKCON. So, not only the disciples, also grand disciples are pioneers. So there is a concern among ISKCON leaders about how we will be able to preserve Srila Prabhupada's legacy. Vishnumurti Prabhu was telling me about his project, Vanipedia, collecting many Srila Prabhupada's quotes and classifying it in different ways by different topics and so on. He was telling me that his concern is not this generation or even the next generation, but after 100 years, how Srila Prabhupada is going to be understood. So in order to preserve Srila Prabhupada's legacy, we need, Srila Prabhupada says here, education and training. And in a conversation in 22nd August 1976, Srila Prabhupada is talking about the meaning of brahmanas. And Prabhupada says that every temple should be an educational center. Every temple should be an educational center. Brahmanas means they are teachers. So every temple should be an educational center, and the brahmanas should be engaged. They should be properly educated, and they should teach others also. In this way, temple means education in a spiritual life. Education in a spiritual life. And then Prabhupada, as early as 1967, he wanted to establish, immediately after starting ISKCON, he wanted to start his first Gurukula. We have representatives from Dallas School here. It's here, Gopi Gita Mataji is here. Or coming, okay. Dallas School was the first school established by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Actually, there was a star in New Vrindavan, actually, and then moved to Dallas, to be more precise. And then Dallas became a big school. Then, later on, moved to Vrindavan. And became the Bhaktivedanta Swami Gurukul we have today. It has evolved in different ways, but that was the first school started by Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada advised many of the first devotees to become educated in order to be able to train others. There are quotes in this regard also. Then I have also a reference from some of Srila Prabhupada's writings before he came to the West, and this was published as a book in Renunciation Through Wisdom. It is actually a collection of articles he wrote in Bengali language, and His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj translated it into English. And that's the book, Renunciation Through Wisdom. Prabhupada writes, "The leaders of society are therefore advised to perform devotional service for Lord Vishnu's satisfaction, both for their own benefit and for the benefit of those they lead. As Lord Krishna says to Sri Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita 3:21, whatever action a great man performs, common men follow, and whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Because everyone follows their example, the leaders are required to carefully study the process of devotional service to Lord Vishnu. This is their duty. Thus, for the benefit of human society, there is a great need to construct universities that will impart knowledge of devotional service." Of course, it could be argued, what do we mean by what did Srila Prabhupada mean by universities? Maybe he meant Vedic universities, not these bogus present-day universities we have in the West. Some people could say that. But anyway, this is what Prabhupada wrote in the 60s. And in the preface to Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada speaks about how the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam should be taught in schools and universities, as taught by the great devotee, student, Prahlad Maharaj. And tomorrow we will be honoring Lord Narasimhadev's appearance day and Sri Prahlad Maharaj's devotional service. So it is very relevant also to our educational system. Prahlad Maharaj was teaching Krishna consciousness in the schools of the Asuras. Kaumara Charit Pragyo Dharman Bhagavatamiha. So he was teaching about the value of human life. And this is what we need to do, is to introduce these principles of Srimad Bhagavatam in schools and universities. And of course, there are many ways of doing that. But I will suggest that the easiest way to do it, or maybe not so easy, and this is what we are here to discuss during this conference, is to establish our own schools and universities and then invite other people to participate of those schools and universities and make them Krishna conscious. It may be easier than going to schools and universities and present Krishna consciousness and not having our own places, while our youth goes to secular universities and get all the, together with the good empirical knowledge, get also the lower values of godless secular culture. So that's something to consider. Of course, there is much more to say about that. Time is up. We will open for discussion a few comments or questions on that. I just wanted to share some reflections and give some food for thought on the topic of systematic education within ISKCON. Comments, questions? Very good point. Srila Prabhupada did change opinion. If we study the Srila Prabhupada's quotes and letters and so on, also in, for example, in the preaching programs also, in the beginning he wanted to have this whole Sankirtan party traveling. It was kind of like a festival with devotees who will be very expert in playing music, something that actually devotees are doing now. We have the all the Kirtanijas having their groups, Gauravani and so many groups. Guru Charanapatma, Mataji's daughter, is doing that. The two daughters are actually traveling to different places and singing, doing kirtans and attracting many people to Krishna consciousness. So we had also the Kirtan Yoga concerts done in Paris and Brussels. So this is being done now. Prabhupada wanted to do it in the beginning. Then he started public chanting in the streets when he saw that devotees were successful in having many hours kirtan in the streets. And then later on he saw that book distribution was flourishing in America. There were some problems with the public chanting because the police will stop the devotees and so on. Then he encouraged more book distribution. And then in the mid-70s, of course, he was still pushing book distribution to the max, but he was pushing a lot, we can see in the history. He was pushing the Bhaktivedanta Institute. He wanted to preach to scientists. He wanted to preach to leaders. So we do need educational centers so that we can be relevant to the leaders of society. And we can communicate the message in their own terms, not just in our own. We live in our own bubble, and we talk in our own way, and we're not able to communicate with educated people in their own terms. That's absolutely necessary, I will suggest, if we are meant to really reach out to the core of society and to the leaders of society. Prabhu? That's a very good point. And so we should present the real thing, as you are pointing out. We should present the real thing in terms accepted by present-day society. That's required. And of course, we can keep the traditional terminology also. We don't have to renounce that, but we have to present it in a relevant way. People appreciate very much when we quote Sanskrit, if we quote it in context, and if we give the translation and make it relevant to them. Any other comments or questions? Today we started a bit later the conference. I'm taking the liberty of being a bit flexible. That's a very valid concern. If I got your right, you're saying that we establish universities, but we will be affected by the values of mundane society. Is that the point? That's a risk, and it's certainly a very valid concern, and perhaps that's something to be discussed in these conferences, this particular conference. All these topics need to be maturely discussed and see all the pros, cons, and based on that, then we decide what do we do. I made a list of possible benefits and possible risk, and I found more benefits than risk of doing that. I'll read the list, and of course all this could be questioned, discussed, and so on. And I'll read the list, and we will end here. The risk, one will be watering down the pure message by losing the focus. We are discussing so many things, and then we are forgetting Krishna. And this is actually today's verse. Narada Muni is telling Vyasa, you talk about so many things, and then you didn't talk about Krishna. And he chastised him. You have to write Srimad Bhagavatam. So also, we have educational institutions, we teach so many things, and we don't teach about Krishna. Or Krishna only a little bit in the corner. We do not integrate Krishna consciousness fully into the curriculum. So that's something to a great risk, and it may happen, or it happens sometimes or many times. Then another possibility is giving priority to mundane learning. It's the same, expressed in different terms. And then getting too much influence of asat sangha. By studying too much what the people who are not devotees argue and think about and so on, we may become spiritually polluted, we will say, influenced by. So that's a concern, that's the risk. And we should be very aware of them. When we work with fire, we can be burned. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur established Vidyapita in Mayapur, a place of education, and he wanted to use that. That's in Bhaktivikas Swami Maharaja's book on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. He wanted to use that for preaching. But then he was somewhat not so happy that many people were going there to learn the external aspects, and they will become externally educated, but they will not take the essence, and they will not use that education to communicate the essence to others. So that risk is there, and there is proven history that this could happen again. Kripa Moya Prabhu told me when we started the college, he made a joke. He said, do you know that a joke and many a true words are spoken in jest. Sometimes we joke and we say the truth. Do you know that the greatest theological deviations came from theological colleges, like in Christian tradition? So certainly that risk is there. But still Prabhupada is saying we should establish we should educate our people. It's not that okay, so that there are no deviations, we don't educate anybody. That's a problem. Anyway, these are the risks are there, are very valid, and therefore there are those who emphasize the risk will say, be careful what you do. Only Vedic. Benefits. The benefits are that we are able to involve all kinds of people according to their nature. We can also educate our youth and train them according to their work tendency, what they like to do. It's a way of presenting an alternative to the present educational systems, secular, godless secular educational systems, an alternative which will be accepted by modern society. Very important, we can redefine the different sciences. By having scholars who studied in detail all the different scientific theories, we can redefine them by establishing evidence that will show how God exists, by establishing Krishna conscious evidence. We can create missionaries as the Mormons do. The Mormons, they have the Brigham Young University in America, actually several campuses. In Utah, more than 30,000 students. They integrate their education with missionary work and community development. And the graduates, more than 90% of the male graduates and 30+% of the female graduates, they commit to 2 years of missionary work after their graduation. So we could, by having such universities, get also missionaries who can go to places and teach Krishna consciousness in a very systematic way. Then we can communicate the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam in an articulate manner, bridging our lifestyle with the present, the modern culture or modern lifestyle. We are modern also, ultimately. So we shouldn't create such a big gap, so that we can bring people to a transcendental experience. Then we can influence leaders of society, create spiritual leaders, and build up communities by engaging our members, our what we call congregational members, who actually are our members nowadays. We have very few monastic people nowadays. So we can work within society. I will end here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Just one announcement for delegates attending the conference. Could you go right away to the restaurant to take breakfast, please? Breakfast will be in the restaurant right away. Thank you. And also, the delegates, could I ask you to be in the conference hall at a few minutes before 12 o'clock when we're due to start? We will be starting at 12 noon prompt, so please be in the conference room a few minutes early. Refreshments will be served from 11:30. Thank you.